You can now take KRBN Internet News Talk Radio with you on your mobile phone, as we are making it easier to listen to the great hosts here on KRBN, including our very own West Lane County Commissioner, Jay Bozovich. It's free and available on Google Play. Just look for player.fm. That's player.fm and search for KRBN.
Live from Lane County, Oregon, it's the Boz Knows Show with your host, West Lane County Commissioner, Jay Bozovich. And now, here's Jay.
And good afternoon, and it's another beautiful day in the Pacific Northwest. A little on the warm side for us. It's actually going to get close to 90, and 30% humidity. I know if you're any of my friends that might be tuning in from the East Coast, that just sounds horrid, doesn't it? but for here, people are just melting and having a fit. In fact, for some reason, it seems to be impacting Pacific Corps' feed to the EPUD substation that serves my area, because for the second time in 3 days, we lost power today, and I thought I was going to have to do the Boz Knows Show on battery power. Actually, it would be on generator power, because I am a prepper, and I do have a whole house generator, and one of the ways I know the power goes off is I suddenly hear this rumbling noise, and it's my generator coming on. So, you know, one of the things about prepping is at least, you know, for these little inconveniences like power outages, you still got it. So that's it. Been fun and games here, though, in this area, because it's kind of played havoc. Unfortunately, the generator only runs the house, and the building my wife's business in is on a separate meter and service. And it doesn't run that, so it's kind of played havoc with productivity in the business this week. You know, without computers and the wireless phone extensions don't work, and all sorts of things go on, so it's pretty hard to do much of anything business-wise. You know, without power nowadays, can't make copies, hard to file, even do filing because it's too dark in the building. So. Might have to get a generator for the business eventually. So this is Boz Knows Show, and I'm your host, Jay Bozovich, and we come to you live every Wednesday at 4 o'clock here on KRBN Internet News Talk Radio. And it's a show I do because being a Lane County Commissioner, it's one of the ways I can reach out to my constituents, but I also get to talk to the whole world in some ways because it is internet radio. In fact, we even had a caller one time from South Africa. We've had callers from Arkansas and California and other places. But I really like callers from right here in Lane County. And you can get a hold of us at 646-721-9887. Just press 1. Let's Robin, my call screener and producer extraordinaire, know you want to get in on the conversation. Again, that number is 646-721-9887. 721-9887, and just press 1 so we know you want to talk to us here on the Boz Knows Show, because occasionally we have a few people that call and just listen through their phones because they're away from their computers. In particular, we have a particular truck driver that, because of course you're probably going in and out of all sorts of Wi-Fi signals going down I-5. But this week on the Boz Knows Show, there's a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about, because, of course, we took last week off for Independence Day. And, of course, I had to, you know, the week before I did my annual rant about not calling it the 4th and the 4th of July, because I think people have so much disconnected for why they have that day off that we need to remind people and refer to it as Independence Day, because that's really an important day in history. The Declaration of Independence contained some concepts that were groundbreaking and earth-shaking at the time, and have held the test of time, you know, that all men are created equal, and we have inalienable rights, you know, life, liberty. You know, it's just really a powerful document that people should read every July 4th on Independence Day to remind themselves why they have that day off. Because all the signers of the Declaration of Independence, things didn't turn out so well for a lot of those folks. Some of them were eventually captured by the British and executed. A lot of them lost property and became paupers through that. A lot of them, some of them were killed during the war. It wasn't, sign the document and walk away like a lot of things happen today where people, pass resolutions and sign a document or whatever else. They were taking their lives in their hands when they put their name on that document. And it's a, pretty amazing thing. And we ought to think about Independence Day every year. And the day we don't celebrate enough is September 17th, which is the day that the Constitution was ratified and is Constitution Day, because that's the other document that was far ahead of its time, broke ground, and has stood the test of time, and is under much discussion right now as we have a new nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States, the personage of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. And of course, folks are losing their mind over that proposed appointment. But really, the Supreme Court was supposed to protect the Constitution and be the balance to the legislative and executive branches in the balancing of powers between the three branches of government. They're not supposed to legislate. They're supposed to interpret and enforce the Constitution. And that's really what they're there for. So 2 days I like to celebrate every year: Independence Day, Constitution Day. Should be the two biggest holidays in America. Shouldn't be Cinco de Mayo or Halloween. It should be Independence Day and Constitution Day. And I'll get off my soapbox. So there's been a lot going on because it's been 2 weeks since we had Bo's Nose Show, and there's been some interesting things. I got a chance to go out and tour the Veterans Legacy facility as they're converting what used to be the sheriff's work camp out in Alma on Siuslaw River Road, way out past Lorain, in the middle of the forest, into a treatment facility for veterans. And it's a really unique concept they have there, where they're going to bring the veterans in and basically, it's going to be run by veterans. There'll be veterans there, only veterans there in the facility. So there'll be a common bond amongst these folks that are having trouble reintegrating into society and with other issues, whether it's substance abuse or PTSD or whatever. But one of the things that those veterans help stabilize them is to get back into an environment that they're familiar with. And being around a bunch of other veterans that have similar backgrounds, and then they'll actually, the quarters they'll be in will look very similar to a barracks. Foot locker at the foot of the bed, a little bit of storage and all that stuff, but very much barracks-like in some ways. Although they will have a little bit of privacy in each of their cubes. One of the things they're looking at is using dogs as part of the program. So that they had to kind of rethink how the size of the cubicles to allow for pen for the dog and bedding for the dog and everything. So it's going to be an interesting program, but very much based on a low barrier of entry, where the only people they won't take in there are folks that have arson convictions and arson issues. For obvious reasons, it's in the middle of the woods, out where there isn't any real fire protection. And you're talking about folks that are housed together in close quarters. So you can kind of get that, but they're going to take people that, have had problems, been thrown out of group housing because of behavior problems, been out on the street because of addiction problems, really low barrier housing for these folks. And then they're going to bring them in there and provide, physical health treatment. They're going to provide mental health treatment, but they're also going to provide what they call agricultural treatment there, where they're going to have the folks growing crops, et cetera, helping provide for their own sustenance. They're going to have a sweat lodge there. They're going to provide some, and it's just all about getting back to the earth, sort of. In fact, they're looking to try and get a ground-driven horse-drawn plow that they'll actually do some of their work with out there. And it's really kind of an innovative idea, but it's really could be powerful for the veterans because it has that separation from, you know, it's far enough away from any city or town that they don't feel like they're crowded with other people that are non-veterans, and they'll be surrounded by other veterans, both the treatment staff and the folks that are there being housed. And it'll just be a really great environment for that. So it sort of fits the mold of something that has been called supported housing or housing first, where it's really easy to get into that. And then they give you this intensive case management to help you deal with, you know, what are your issues and why are you having trouble being housed in the first place? So that was kind of an exciting thing. And then this week, the Board of Commissioners approved, or at least gave our administrator authority to sign an intergovernmental agreement with the Homes for Good, which is formerly known as the Housing and Community Services Authority for Lane County, also called HACSA, but to move our own supported housing project on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, there across from Autzen Stadium and next door to our behavioral health department's headquarters, Ford, that'll have 50 of these housing first supported housing style apartments in it, where it'd be a low barrier to entry. We'll get people in there, intensive case management, and really try and deal with why are these people homeless in the first place, and try and work on permanent changes in their lives. And that's really been shown to be very effective in other cities. We did a pilot program called Fuse, where we tried to get the top 50 emergency services. And by emergency services, I mean emergency room, ambulance call outs, police responses, jail bookings, you know, all those various places where they touch the system. The top 50 utilizers, we tried to contact those folks that are out there that are homeless, get them into housing and connected to services. And that pilot program, we helped about 20 people through that program because it was hard to connect. You know, you can't always find people that are homeless. But we got about 20 people through that program who we estimated were costing taxpayers through unreimbursed, emergency room visits, jail bookings, police response, and all that, about $35,000 a year just in emergency services. And it cost only about $14,000 a year to put those people into housing and give them that intensive case management. So just per person, we were saving $21,000 a year in that program. So as we look at this 50-unit MLK housing project, that has the potential to really, you know, $1 million in cost savings a year. If you look at just that approximately $20,000 a year, if we get to, and not everyone stays in the housing for a full year. They may only need 6 months of intensive case management before they might move on to a less costly sort of style of housing, maybe a group transitional home, or maybe they actually get well enough, they get into standard housing. But you know, we'll probably have more than 50 people go through that program in a year. So just think about the ultimate savings and the long-term impact on homelessness. This isn't just warehousing people and temporarily setting them up in a tent city, or, you know, whatever, you know, putting them in large shelters or something like that. This is actually bringing them in and dealing with what is causing them to be homeless in the first place. And what is causing them to not be successful in society, and try and work on some of those things and fix, change behaviors, fix issues like chronic health issues that may be holding them back and preventing them from getting a job. So it's really, really kind of exciting. You know, two things that are sort of housing first models, supported housing, that I got to be involved with in the last couple of weeks is Veterans Legacy Program out there at the old work camp, and this new building that we hope to have up and running by 2020 on across from Autzen Stadium. So kind of all along, I've thought this was the real answer. And even more, we need to do this with youth, because if we can actually keep youth off the street, you know, there's a statistic, if a youth is homeless more than 2 weeks before they're age 18, they're about 80% more likely to be chronically homeless as an adult. So it's really critical to also extend this sort of program down at the youth level, which is something St. Vincent de Paul was attempting to do over in the Bethel area, that's raised a bunch of issues with some neighbors as they try and establish a home for runaway and homeless boys out there, to try and turn them around a little bit. So we need to kind of not play NIMBYism there, which brings me to a couple other things that were on my list to talk about today on the Bo's Nose Show. And of course, if you want to talk about something on the Bo's Nose Show, you know, you can always call me anytime during the show, interrupt me and change the subject at 646-721-9887. Just press one. Let's Robin, my call screener and producer extraordinaire, know you want to get in on the conversation. Again, 646-721-9887, and just press one. But there's, you know, a couple other places that have been in the news this last week or two while we were off the air. One's called Lombard Apartments, which is a proposed apartment complex on River Road on a piece of R2 zone property, which is medium density housing in the city of Eugene, which is, I think, 12 to 25 units per acre or something like that. And it was been zoned that way for a long, long time, but the neighbors are losing their minds because somebody actually purchased it and is going to move forward with developing it. And it's a developer that developed another piece of property up the street and ultimately sold it for a big profit to a investment company, you know, a group of investors. And for some reason, that's just a horrible thing in a lot of people's minds, that this market rate housing is being added to the housing stock here. And you know how much I've talked about the need for housing. And it's just, it amazes me when a piece of property that has been long time zoned for apartments, and somebody finally, you know, that's going to move forward with developing it, proposes it, everybody's up against, you know, is against it. And it's a horrible thing if you're, you know, and it's like, really? And it's the same people usually that will complain about sprawl and the fact they don't want the cities to sprawl, yet they complain when something is going to get developed per the zoning. Along with that, there's a piece of a project down in the Florence area that raised a little bit of uproar, but not nearly as bad, down in the Florence area, called, I think it's Canary Station or Cannery Station. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I think it might be Canary Station. And it's a multi-use sort of project, but mostly multifamily housing with some retail involved, right at Munsell Lake Road and Highway 101 in Florence. And some people are kind of upset about that. And one of the things they're upset about is some of it's going to be 55 and up limited. And they think there needs to be more market rate, all age housing in Florence, which I don't disagree with them, but any housing being added takes pressure off the housing crisis. So I'm just happy someone's willing to invest and build multifamily housing in Florence, even if it's age limited. So hope folks can back away from the emotions on that and just realize how badly we need housing in Lane County. Of any kind of housing, takes the pressure off the prices of all the rest of the housing. So that kind of gets me, you know, from we started out talking about veterans and all the way through a boys' home and into multifamily housing, which gets to some other local news. And we had a really odd fire yesterday morning, or was it Monday morning in Junction City, 2 days ago. A fire that started with a big explosion. Explosion was forceful enough to take shards of glass from the windows and embed them in the concrete of the building across the way, you know, about 60 or 70 feet away. So very suspicious fire and situation. And on top of that, there's apparently some racist graffiti painted on the back of the building prior to when this happened that had been reported by some of the neighbors. So not sure if there's a racial motivation behind the fire or whatever, but it's being investigated and all the way up to the federal level by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, better known as ATF, and very serious situation up there in Junction City. Truly hope that the graffiti and the fire are completely unrelated, and it's just one of those things where it might have been kids with the graffiti thinking they're being tough or something like that, and the fire is just an unrelated circumstantial thing. But really kind of concerning. There's no place in this community for outright racism and intimidation, and let alone arson and that sort of destruction. Yeah, you know, that there's absolutely no justification for that. So be interesting to see what the whole story is when all is investigated. It was a building that had been an insurance office for a long time in Junction City, been abandoned for quite a while, and was being converted to a restaurant. So you never know. The explosion could have been that they had brought, you know, gas into in there for the cook stoves, and something went wrong, and some gas built up and exploded. That could be what happened, and the graffiti could be just purely circumstantial. So, kind of hoping that's the case, but really kind of an interesting thing. So, you folks up there in Junction City, if there's something you know that I don't know, and you want to call and tell me about it, 646-721-9887. And just press one. So the other thing going on here, and I had to experience this a little bit. I had to do a little bit of driving around town today, and oh my gosh, it's country fair time in Veneta again, in Elmira. And it's not even really there yet. Usually it gets bad on the Thursday before the fair when everyone comes to move in the camps. But I think there's enough vendors and people coming a little bit early that traffic around Veneta is already getting bad. I had a terrible time trying to make a left turn on Highway 126 from a shop I stopped at today. And on my way home here to do the Bo's Nose Show, I ended up doing 30 miles an hour down most of Territorial because I don't know what was going on. I couldn't see far enough ahead in the line of cars to understand why we were doing 30 miles an hour. So just getting to be that time of year, I went to the grocery store. I've got my food laid in. I've got my generator. I'm staying home this weekend. I'm staying out of all that craziness. But the country fair is an interesting event. It you know, the community around here has kind of got a love-hate relationship with it. You know, we all love the fact that it does bring a lot of economic activity to Lane County and all the businesses around here. In fact, the local dairy marts start stocking up their freezers full of ice for a month leading up to the because they can't make ice fast enough that weekend, and they'll end up selling out before the weekend's over, just ice alone. So It's because of all the people camping with ice chests and all that stuff. So it, you know, definitely does bring a lot of dollars into the community, but it does bring a lot of headaches at the same time too. So it's kind of this little bit of a love-hate relationship. Hopefully this year, the Darlings camp won't do the amplified music they did on the Friday night that caused my phone to ring off the hook Saturday morning and even Friday night. And we won't have that sort of situation again. But, you know, with the Oregon Country Fair, now that means the Lane County Fair is right behind it because we changed the fair dates. So hope everybody's getting cranked up and ready for the Lane County Fair. Starts a week from today. And that's always a great event. So we got two great events back to back. And then last weekend was Art in the Vineyard down in Eugene. So it's just been like one weekend event after another here in Lane County. And it's just a great time of year because, you know, gorgeous blue skies. I mean, this weekend for the country fair, it's going to get a little hot, you know, in the low 90s, but not as bad as it's been sometimes. And you know, if it's not hot at the country fair, it's just not the country fair in some ways. So, you know, come on out. You got to buy your tickets in advance. There's no tickets at the gate. And if you drive out, you have to pay to park. So the best way to get out the country fair is buy your tickets in advance in town, grab one of those LTD shuttles out to the fair, and you know, get your fair on and have fun. And then next week, Lane County Fair, you know, is going to be another great event. You know, they've done a great job of having a fair amount of entertainment that's free right there in the Midway that you don't even have to pay for. There's enough going on with all the vendors inside, indoors, all the animals to see, that other than your fair admission, you could actually go in there and spend hours without spending a nickel. Now, if you do have a few nickels you want to spend, there's all sorts of great food, and you know, the kids love the rides and all that stuff. So it's a good old-fashioned county fair and a lot of fun. And got some good music entertainment in the evenings. So that's coming up next week on Wednesday. In fact, I'm going to have to look. I think it's Thursday I'm doing the ice cream social. So hopefully I won't impact the Bo's Nose show next week, having the county fair. So that's kind of, you know, a couple things going on here locally in the community. So that kind of gets through the local Lane County issues. Now I kind of like that. Jump, you know, up a little bit, maybe talk a little bit about state and federal issues here on the Bo's Nose show, because, you know, we get into that. It's about whatever people want to talk about, and sometimes it gets federal, sometimes it gets state, sometimes it gets local, sometimes it's municipal. You know, like we've talked in the past about the city of Eugene and their issues with ride sharing and Uber and Lyft, and, you know, we even talked about the city of Eugene's problems with fireworks on the Bo's Nose show. So we can get all the way down to municipal level, right down to the neighborhood level, or we'll go national, global. And it's kind of interesting. Been a lot of, you know, stuff about national and global that's actually even being protested here on the local level. Whether it's the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement folks that are being protested here in Eugene, there was protest, and up in Portland, they actually shut the office down. And whether it's that, or whether it's the Supreme Court pick that's now being protested, even, you know, the criticism now of President Trump taking on some of the NATO allies over not holding up their end of the bargain when it comes to protecting themselves as part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which is what NATO stands for. It's interesting because, particularly on the NATO one, there were opinion pieces being written back during the Obama administration saying that it was time to end NATO and have the U.S. stop paying so much to protect Europe because it was unnecessary, and that we should be cutting our defense budget, and that they were encouraging President Obama to take that leadership and all that. And now you see President Trump basically taking that on. And the same organizations that were saying we should have ended NATO 4 or 5 years ago are now going, oh my gosh, it has to stay in place. He's endangering our alliances with all our friends and everything. So it's just the inconsistency sometimes just is pretty interesting to watch when it comes to national and global events. But it'll be interesting. I'm not sure whether I'm happy with the Supreme Court pick. Personally, I like constructionalist Neil Gorsuch. I thought was a good pick. Brett Kavanaugh, though, has said some things and been squishy sometimes on certain interpretations that makes me worry that he won't always be in a Scalia Alito side of the constructionist sort of judge, where he may be a fence sitter, and one of those swing votes that's going to go back and forth between the quote living constitution folks and the strict constructionists. So it'll be interesting to watch the hearings and how that goes with Kavanaugh. Out of the folks he was considering, I would think that the Democrats would be pleased, because he is probably in his writings and also in some of his decisions and all that has probably been more liberal than some of the other people that were on the list. To the point where there are conservatives that are upset President Trump picked Kavanaugh. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out, and whether he can make it through the confirmation process and the hearings, and end up getting the appointment. But it's always interesting to watch some of these things go on from a little bit of a distance of 3,000 miles across the country. Because sometimes it seems a little bit on the silly side, as there were actually people protesting his pick before he ever named the pick. In fact, I saw a piece of YouTube video where a guy went out to a college campus on Friday before the pick was even announced. He hadn't even made his shortlist yet, and was talking with college students saying, what do you think of the president's pick for the Supreme Court? And of course they bit, and thought he had actually made a pick, and were immediately saying, oh, he's horrible, he's an extremist, it's going to be the worst thing for the country and all that stuff. And he hadn't even made a pick yet. So it's kind of like just the knee-jerk reaction from people is just rather interesting. So it gets me down to some state level stuff that's going on. And I got to run payroll for the first time since July 1st for my wife's company. And lo and behold, we are starting to withhold that 0.1% of people's salaries for the mass transit tax, which I just know Robin loves.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting to print the pay stubs out and see that withholding there, and it wasn't a whole lot for a lot of people, $5 or $7 here and there for some of these folks, but that's still less money in your pocket and more money going to the state of Oregon, in a state that just can't seem to get enough money, does all sorts of crazy things like disconnecting themselves from the Trump tax cuts because they just couldn't live without the money. So it's just kind of interesting, which kind of gets me to another little piece of inside baseball. So one of the things, I sometimes am privy to is when somebody higher up in the food chain notifies, their staff notifies us they want to come down and tour a facility or do something down here in Lane County, or they're going to be in the area and they want to invite commissioners to participate. And sometimes it's something as simple as the governor came down as she was doing a tour about transportation issues, and I actually participated in a press event right there at Beltline Road to talk about the need for improvements to Beltline Road. No big deal then, wasn't an election year. It was, just about trying to make, raise awareness of the need for some transportation funding. But got a request on Friday through the governor's staff, or actually late, probably it was late Thursday, maybe early Friday, where they wanted to come here yesterday and tour one of our federally funded county-run health clinics for the purpose of then, running a tour with the press there and then doing a press conference where the governor was going to denounce the Trump administration's moves towards making it easier for insurance companies to start taking into account pre-existing conditions and insuring people. It was purely a political stop, as the governor is in the middle of a reelection campaign, and it was going to be targeted specifically around taking on the Trump administration and some proposed changes in administrative rules that would have made that easier, and just taking that whole issue on. Fortunately, working with staff, we kind of were a little bit concerned about the use of taxpayer-funded facilities as a backdrop to a political event, and basically got back to the governor's staff and said, we're more than happy for the, we'd love for the governor to come down and tour our clinic, but we're not going to allow press at that tour. And if she wishes to do press, it needs to happen outside of the clinic. Never really heard back from the governor's staff. Lo and behold, she ended up holding her Eugene campaign stop at the Planned Parenthood facility here in Eugene instead of our clinic, which is not directly publicly funded, but does take a lot of public funds. But that was where she chose her backdrop to take on the administration's policies. But it was kind of it's kind of interesting, when I would have said the same thing if Newt Bueller had asked to try and use one of our facilities for a press backdrop for. But it brings up something that's always bothered me. And it's the use by congressmen, governors, you name it. They'll come into town, hold an event at a school, bring the press in as they're, touring the school with the kids and all that stuff. And then they'll do like a press conference about something they're advocating for or against that, the children that are behind them and, don't have a frigging idea what they're probably talking about, but they're using these kids as props, and they're doing it, this political activity, from a taxpayer-built building in a facility that's operated and maintained with taxpayer dollars. And I really feel it walks on the edge of the Hatch Act and several other prohibitions against using taxpayer funds for political purposes. But think about how many times have you turned on the TV evening news and seen, a senator or a congressman or a governor at a school talking about the importance you know, we need this new bill to go through, or we need this tax to fund this program, or you know, we need this program for children's health or something, or whatever it is they're advocating for. And it's political advocacy, and they're using kids as props and using a taxpayer funded and operated facility. And it just, you know, it really is a little disconcerting to see that happen. And it happens on both sides of the aisle, all over the place. And as I think about it, I'm going to have to remember to not do that myself, and to try and make sure that sometime in the future, I don't get caught up in doing the same thing and doing that kind of advocacy from a public facility. You know, there's a difference between, and you know, people brought this up, Donald Trump came to Lane County Fairgrounds. And yes, that's a taxpayer-funded facility to a certain degree. It's actually in an enterprise zone, but it was originally purchased with taxpayer funds, and but it operates on its own. But he paid rent for that facility, and it's open to anybody to rent. Hillary Clinton could have rented that facility. So there's a little bit of a difference there between coming to a clinic that's not generally open to the public or rented and trying to use that as political backdrop, or a school versus renting a building at the fairgrounds to hold a rally. So a little bit of soapboxing there on the Bo's Nose Show, but it really is always been a pet peeve of mine to watch these politicians use schools and kids in particular as pawns and backdrops for advocacy of their issues. And it just is not truly an ethical thing to do. So again, if you want to talk about this or other subjects on the Bo's Nose Show, give us a call, 646-721-9887. Just press 1 and you can get in on the conversation and talk about what you want to talk about. Otherwise, I'll just keep going with the issues Jay wants to talk about or Robin wants to talk about. And who knows what we could be talking about? Could be the ever-changing and zigzagging lanes due to the MX construction in Eugene, to the crazy figure eight version of traffic circles in Glenwood, to the new mass transit tax that we all love and hate.
Yeah, speaking of those roads, you think the architect should be drug tested?
Yeah, whoever the traffic engineer or whatever that laid that one out, it definitely should be drug tested. 6th and 7th, oh my gosh, that is just the height of, I don't know who was thinking when they put that, when they laid some of that stuff out. Lanes that suddenly end and you have to merge over without a lot of thought of how they did that. The ones they chose to make through lanes and not through lanes. It's crazy.
Decided to put a planter in the middle of the street over by the U of O.
Yeah. Well, you know, because the U of O has banned smoking on campus, that gives the place, you know, the staff someplace to go out and smoke. They can go stand in the planter.
Yeah, if you can cross the street.
Yeah. So, which leads me to another thing that just is driving me a little bit crazy. The city of Eugene is actually going to ban smoking in street right-of-ways.
What?
Yes. In downtown, they're not going to let you smoke out on the sidewalk or in the street, basically. It is going to be banned, period.
Is that legal?
I guess I don't know. I guess it can be made legal, but I find it to be just way beyond the nanny state.
Hey, I got a really good idea. Why don't they take the few remaining businesses downtown, go put them over in that skateboard park, and everybody can get together, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya?
Yeah, I don't know. They're at least saying that the businesses downtown can opt out if they want to allow their sidewalks to be smoking areas. And They're allowing businesses outside of the downtown area to opt in to banning smoking on the sidewalks in their areas. And it just, that's public property.
Yeah.
Why do the businesses get to make that determination?
Yeah, you're going to play hopscotch every time you go shopping.
Yeah, yeah, it's just going to be, I think, you know, in some ways, maybe it's aimed at controlling some of the homeless downtown, you know. If they can't smoke, you know, they're going to start issuing a bunch of citations to homeless people for smoking out in on the sidewalk.
Oh, I see. So if you're a non-smoking homeless person, you're okay.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But I kind of wonder, I was kind of surprised that the homeless advocates didn't go berserk when they proposed this. But I guess they're the same people that are nanny state advocates too. So it's kind of like, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out, whether it gets challenged legally or not. But, you know, it's kind of, I was the lone vote against making Lane County building, you know, outside of buildings, the campuses smoke-free. My justification was it's still a legal product in the U.S. It's addictive. So therefore, we have citizens that are addicted to a legal product that need to have access to government. And one of the basic premises of our representative government here is your right to redress in the government. And if you're banning these people from the campus that have this addiction, and telling them, you know, they got to go out into the street right away to smoke, and who knows, now they're not even going to be able to smoke in the street right away. Are we effectively discriminating against one class of citizens about their, you know, access to redress from their local governments?
Well, look at it from a business point of view. You've already banned dogs downtown. Now you're going to ban smoking. I mean, and then they cry, why is everybody going to Valley River and Gateway?
Yeah. Well, actually, they've lifted the dog ban. Now they just have a ban on unlicensed dogs downtown.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how some of that plays out with the city of Eugene. Because that one, I kind of wonder if they really have the authority to ban it in the right of way.
Yeah, it'd be right. Rights movement.
These are interesting, legally interesting places.
That would be just like cities that try to ban low-hanging pants.
Yeah.
That's right, Your Honor. It held down more than 15 inches from the waistline, and so therefore, no, but sorry, that was 12 and a half inches, so Your Honor, it's legal.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It's always amazing when you get into social engineering through legislation, and that's essentially the justification they're giving for this outdoor smoking ban in downtown, is they think it will reduce the amount of smoking and tobacco use. So it's a behavior modification rule against a behavior that's legal.
Yeah. Well, look how well the soda ban worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get me started. And I love the fact, you know, this whole thing about straws that's going on now, plastic straws. And Starbucks, as enlightened as they are, went to these new adult sippy cup tops, you know, that are non-straws.
Yeah.
They're made out of plastic.
It's like whenever I get a cup of coffee, I use the stir straws as a straw when I drink coffee with a lid on it, because for one thing, chances are I won't spill it on myself as I'm, well, I guess illegally driving with drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Which is then stay, then, you know, any, even eating a sandwich is illegal to drink, to drive and eat.
Yeah, technically it's distracted driving.
I saw him with a pastrami.
Pull yeah. Him. Yes, yeah. But it's interesting, you know, had a little fire there in Springfield yesterday out there off of 28th.
Yeah.
And Olympic, I guess, or somewhere about there. There's a field where some folks were flying a drone, and somehow they were distracted and crashed the drone and started the fire. But all I can think of was, wonder what distracted them. Oh, I bet one of them had to answer their cell phone.
Yeah.
Or was reading a text and not watching the damn drone.
It must have been a heck of a drone.
Trying to fly a drone and text at the same time. Yeah, I don't know how the drone started the fire, but it looked like it burned about a half acre out there.
Oh, wow.
The video that was on the news. So, which leads to another issue here in Lane County. Just want to remind folks that they have raised the fire levels all across the county as far as what's allowed out there. So before you go out and operate equipment in the woods or even mow your lawn, you probably need to check with your local fire district or with the Oregon Department of Forestry to make sure you understand what's legal, because there's a lot of stuff that's no longer legal out in the woods, or there's time of day restrictions on some of that. So be careful out there. So it is going to get hotter and drier. Fuel loads or fuel energies are getting pretty high right now. So it's pretty easy to start a fire, like the idiots with the distracted drone drivers
and
in Springfield.
And to those wonderful smart people that still throw their lit cigarette out the window on the freeway, I'm half tempted to take your image of from my traffic cam and post it on Facebook.
Yeah, well, you ought to be sending that off to OSP.
Well, you know what's funny though is that it's actually cheaper, according to the signs on the freeway, to throw out burning material than it is to litter.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll get you for the littering fines because it's more harsh, huh?
Yeah, seriously, the littering fine is actually more than the burning material fine.
Yeah, speaking of fires and all that and investigations, did you hear about that fire, the Lobster Creek fire down there in Curry County?
No.
So there's a fire fairly close to Bandon that got started and took quite a bit to fight. In fact, they were trying very intensively not to let it grow into another big fire that like they had last year. And, you know, they're fighting the fire and all that stuff. And they realized that there was a group camping in the area where the fire started. Lo and behold, the group camping has ties to Lane County. In fact, right here in Eugene, it's a youth camp for environmental justice activism.
Okay.
And if you go to their website, it teaches them all sorts of things that, you know, about, you know, peaceful protests supposedly and all that stuff and resistance and your rights as a protester and whatever else. Well, the folks from that camp are refusing to talk to the investigators of the fire on advice from their attorneys. So now, do you wonder if maybe this environmental justice camp was being told that, you know, fire is a natural thing and it's something that we shouldn't really be fighting because that's part of the environmentalist mantra when it comes to our forest is we shouldn't be managing them at all, including putting fires out. And next thing you know, there's a fire that crops up from basically where they were camping.
Wow.
One of the kids may have been inspired by some of the teachings they were receiving at that camp.
Yes, and did they also get a quick lesson in responsibility?
Yeah, I don't know, but the fires cost millions of dollars to fight so far.
Wow.
So one of the things that happens if it's a human-caused fire, you can actually be held liable for the firefighting costs. You know, just ask that kid up in the Columbia River Gorge. It's going to have to supposedly pay back $36 million for that fire, the one that the idiot that was tossing fireworks in the middle of a red flag day. So So it'll be interesting to see how that one ultimately turns out and how long they're going to be able to hide behind their attorneys from speaking to the investigators. But that's going to be that'll be an interesting one that plays out over time.
No kidding. By the way, I want to remind people real quick, 646-721-9887. And if you missed the live show, you can catch us all over the place. In fact, Jay, you probably don't know this, is that if you Google Caribbean Internet News Talk Radio, we are now, as I found out, and it'd be nice of them to ask for permission, but whatever, we are being rebroadcast on at least 6 different websites.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so you are, as you mentioned earlier in the program, literally all over the world.
Yep, all over the world. Once you're on the internet, and you live forever too, so... You know, whatever stupid things I say during this show, live forever.
Exactly. But yeah, we got at least 6 sites that I've seen so far that are rebroadcasting all of our programs, which is kind of flattering.
Yeah.
And, spreading the word. So
that's great. So welcome all you new listeners to the Bo's Nose Show. It's a live local news talk radio show, and I'm your host, Jay Bozovich. I am a Lane County commissioner, and I do this show as outreach to my constituents and anyone else listening that wants to talk a little bit about local government and politics and policies, and even all the way out to the international and global level. And we come to you every week live at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon Pacific time. But you can also listen to us live through Facebook, and we are available when we're not broadcasting at talk@krbnradio.net. That's our email address. And of course, you can always message us on our Facebook page, the KRBN Internet News Talk Radio page, anytime. If you have want to comment on something we talked about on the show, you want me to talk about something the next week on the show, there's a guest you'd like me to get on an interview, because we do that also on the Bo's Nose Show now and then. Just drop us a line, and we're more than happy to have a little conversation. In fact, I just love it when people call in, and there's still a couple minutes left in the Bo's Nose Show. So if you want to get in and talk to me live, 646-721-9887.
You can also take us on your cell phone, too, at player.fm, search for KRBN, and iTunes as well. And sometimes the interviewee becomes the interviewer, as we refer to a certain KPNW host.
Yes. And we did replay that a couple weeks ago when I was occupied by commissioner duties. I did bring on, in fact, I've had 2 radio news personalities come on and did interviews of them, and versus them doing interviews of me. I had Bill London from KPNW, and I had Bob Snedden, formerly of KCST in Florence, who's now retired, talking about his career doing news in the Florence area. So if you go back through some of my archives, you may find that show with Bob Snedden, and of course the Bill London shows there. Too, if you want to listen to that, I've interviewed the Lane County Sheriff a couple times. I've even had the DA on, and I've had several executive directors for a couple nonprofits on here a few times. So it's kind of depends on what's in the news, whether I get a guest for particular things. In fact, I'm kind of hoping maybe in the future I'll pull somebody in from the Veterans Legacy Group to talk about that project they're working on out there, because it's a pretty exciting concept to kind of have veterans getting back to kind of their military roots, being surrounded by other veterans, living in a similar facility to what they probably were living in when they were overseas, or at least on active duty, and having that healing environment to go with that and the treatment and all that. It's really kind of groundbreaking. So this has been the Bo's Nose Show for this week. We'll be back next week Wednesday at 4 o'clock. I hope you enjoyed listening, and give us a call next time. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. But thank you for listening live here from beautiful downtown Elmira. Have a great week. Watch out with that fire.